Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast. As you were. Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. We've got a fantastic episode for you today. The guest is Will Buxton. If you are a Formula One fan, you will probably know that name because Will's a very big player in the Formula One scene, works for Formula One and is like all over all their coverage. And a lovely guy as well. And you hear on the interview, I talk about a blog post he did where he talked about his favourite Oasis songs. And someone flagged that up to me and pinged it over to me and said, you really need to speak to this guy. So I got in touch and we arranged it and we did it and it was brilliant. And as he's a driving person, we said we would discuss the best Oasis driving songs. And and Will was absolutely fantastic to speak to. We'll definitely have him on again. What a great guest he was. So I hope you guys enjoy that. There's been some sort of Oasis news. I think the big couple of things this week has been the big anniversaries. We had the 24th anniversary of Nebworth and obviously Loch Lomond as well. Scottish fans, let's not forget Loch Lomond. We've had the 25th anniversary of Roll With It and Country House being released. But also we're not just looking at the past here. As you know, we look to the future. And Andy Bell of Oasis has released a new single and it's really, really good. It's one of my favourite things he's ever released in an amazing career. So let's have a little bit of it. Searching for meaning, or a secret word revealing, and you're missing the feeling of connection, a reflection back from the blood. You're ready to ride the first wave of love. So yeah, I thought that was absolutely fantastic. What a great single. Really lovely summer vibe as well. Perfect at this time of year. I think Andy's voice sounds fantastic throughout it. I love the way he sort of, the harmonies going throughout it. I assume it's him doing sort of all the harmonies throughout it. I think it sounds great. I think the guitar sounds brilliant. That sort of chiming guitar all the way through it. It's got that real kind of, it's sort of got a 60s feel, but it's also got that sort of early 90s feel to it as well. And it's just got such a cool groove to it. I like the fact it's quite a high pace throughout. I just think it's a great single. It's just one of those classic kind of... it's got that feel of Ride, but it's also got a feel of... You know, it's just what he brings to it. It's just what he brings to everything he's done over his career. So, well done, Andy. Absolutely fantastic. And you know, you are always welcome on the Oasis Podcast. So, come on, give me a shout. Right, let's crack on with this interview, shall we? Will Buxton, top man... here discussing our top 10 Oasis driving songs. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to the Oasis podcast, Will Buxton. How are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm okay. Thank you. Yeah, it's really great to hear from you. It's one of these. It's almost like being an Oasis fan in a different, you know, part of the media or part of the different sort of industries. It's funny because they're such a huge band, and yet it's still when you get someone that's like a really big fan. You know, that's really cool that you're out there and yeah, it's great. So
it's just one of those things that kind of links people, I think, of a certain age or space, that, you know, it's something that you can latch onto. If you were a proper diehard fan, that just lived for the band. It's just one of those things that doesn't die, I don't think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because everyone, it's like with Queen. Everyone loves Queen, right? You know, everyone loves Queen. But you know, I wouldn't say I was a Queen fan. Whereas it's like similar with Oasis. I think like everyone like knows them, whether they like them or don't like them. And a lot of people really like them, you know. But then you've got the extra level, isn't there? I think probably we can put both of ourselves in that category.
Yeah, it sort of moves over into nerd territory.
Exactly. But yeah, so do you want to just give us your background? So for people that don't know who you are and kind of the thing that you're most sort of known for.
Yeah. So I'm a Formula One broadcaster, journalist, all that kind of thing. People might have seen me on the Netflix Drive to Survive show that sort of became quite big over the last couple of years. But yeah, for the last 20 years, I started out as a print journalist for Formula One magazine way back in the day. And somehow ended up on television in America for the Speed Channel and then NBC. Did that for sort of 10 years. Pit reporting for them, running up and down the pit lanes of the world, and then got asked by Formula One themselves to come and be their digital presenter coming into this decade. So that's what I do now. They say that, you know, sort of journalism goes onto television to die. So I don't know what going from television onto the internet means, but I think I'm many miles away from the serious journalist I wanted to be. But it's great. It's wonderful fun, you know. Get to travel around the world and follow Formula One, which has been my, you know, one of my biggest passions for my life. So it's great fun. It's a great job.
That's amazing. And you were a racer as well.
Well, I don't know. They always say those who can do and those who can't talk about it. So I think I sit on that side of the fence, really. You know, I did a bit of karting for fun when I was young, but I got offered the chance a few years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago, to race open wheel sort of single seaters with some kids just coming out of go-karting and taking their first forays into racing. And I went up against Max Verstappen and Lance Stroll and Nicholas Latifi, who are all now racing in Formula One. Max is, you know, multiple race winner and doing brilliantly for Red Bull. And yeah, he was like 15 and I was 33, 34. And I was appalling. And it was at that moment that you look at them and you suddenly know how good they are and why they're as good as they are. And the only thing that I could do was get the thing off the line really quickly because my clutch control was good. And I was really proud of myself for that. And the guy who was running the course, a guy called Luca Baldessari, who used to be Michael Schumacher's race engineer, sort of gave me this look and said, "Will, how long have you been driving?" And I'm sort of, you know, adding it up. But like 18 just under 18 years. He's like, "Yeah, Max isn't even 18 yet. So if his clutch control was better than yours, I'd be slightly worried." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah." So definitely not somebody that had the requisite skills to be a racing driver.
Fair enough. So but yeah, as I say, you've clearly found your niche though. Something, and how great is that to find something you love and you get to, you know, not only, you know, travel the world, but you get to broadcast to, you know, millions of people as well, which is
it's a joy. Cool, it's an absolute joy. You know, as you know, you find something that you love, and if you get to talk about it, it's, you know, it's not really work, is it? It's just it's amazing fun.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Well, what about on the Oasis side of it then? So growing up, whereabouts did you grow up, and when did Oasis and music come into your life?
I think same for most people my age. It kind of came in after, well, actually a pretty important time, actually, sort of, you know, from going from the age of sort of 12, 13, 14, so that very sort of influential adolescent into teenage years. I grew up in Malvern in Worcestershire, and I was a chorister at Worcester Cathedral, you know,
very rock treble
and I mean, so rock and roll, right? And I think kind of as a kickback against being a chorister, I was very much into sort of my guitar bands at the time. I was a massive Extreme fan. Most people only know More Than Words, but they were a really great band. Actually, you talked about Queen earlier. Queen always said that Extreme were like the heirs to their throne, almost, because it was like sort of quite operatic rock, brilliantly written, you know, great rock band. And at the Freddie Mercury tribute concert, actually, Brian May said that Extreme were the band that most sort of encapsulated what Freddie Mercury was all about, which I thought was really cool. Great band, but everyone only knows them for More Than Words, and, you know, that sort of sappy crap, rather than the brilliant sort of rock songs that they wrote. Nuno Bettencourt, lead guitarist, one of the great guitarists of all time. So I was massively into them, and from them sort of fell into Pearl Jam, and then started going backwards from Pearl Jam through sort of where they'd come from, which was sort of Mother Love Bone and Temple of the Dog and all that kind of stuff. And that got me very much into sort of Seattle-based rock and grunge. And then everyone was, you know, listening to Nirvana in 92 into 93. And so, yeah, I think like most of the sort of 12-year-olds of that time, you know, wearing baggy jumpers and trying to grow their hair long, although my military father wouldn't let me have an undercut, and wearing stupid baggy No Fear trousers and all of that. You know, I was properly grumpy little crap bag to my parents, and listening to Nirvana. And then I think I was just rolling into 1994, and 1994 really changed everything. I remember seeing Green Day on Top of the Pops for the first time, and sort of the low slung guitars. And that was, and it was like, it was happy rock music. It was really just jovial and light and bouncy and fun. And I was moving to a new school that summer. And it was over that summer that I remember I heard Oasis for the first time. And went to this new school, and, you know, everyone was still into their Nirvana and everything, but there was this one album with this sort of turquoise CD, you know, a teal colored CD that was always on, and it was Oasis, and it was just, and it became the this anthemic thing that we just listened to nonstop more than anything. And you know, I remember I had like a Beavis and Butthead tape with loads of tracks from their TV show, and one of them was Nirvana's "I Hate Myself and Want to Die," and we, you know, we all know the story of "Live Forever" and what that was all about, and it was just the total antithesis of grumpy, grungy, oh, I hate everything, to and it came at a point in my life where everything was changing, and I was sort of, you know, at a new school, and life was changing. I was becoming a teenager, and there were girls, and, you know, life was actually pretty exciting. Life was pretty great. And from that point on, Oasis just sort of formed this soundtrack to my life and influenced every kind of sort of change in musical taste I had from that point on ran in very much in parallel with listening to Oasis and the bands that it opened up. I said maybe.
At the time, it was written in the middle of grunge and all that, and I remember Nirvana had a tune called I Hate Myself When I Want to Die, which I was like, well, I'm not fucking having that. As much as I fucking like him and all that shit, I'm not having that. I can't have people like that coming over here on smack fucking saying that they hate themselves and they want to die. That's fucking rubbish. And I'm not saying it was written directly as a retort to that, but that was my thinking, was fuck that, man. Kids don't need to hear that nonsense. It seemed like to me he was a guy that had everything and was miserable about it. And we had fuck all. And I still thought that getting up in the morning was the greatest fucking thing ever, because you didn't know where you'd end up at night, you know. And we didn't have a pot to piss in, but it was fucking great, man. Yeah.
So similar to like you said with Pearl Jam, you then went back into the Seattle scene. So from Oasis, did you then go back to like, you know, the Beatles and the Who and the Kinks and the Stones and that sort of thing?
No, so I'd grown up with the Beatles massively. You know, my dad had one Beatles tape in the car, which I actually went, it wasn't any of the albums, and I had to go back and find, I tried to find it, and through the wonders of the internet, found that it was actually a tape that you got if you collected enough tokens from, I think, from Carlsberg or Heineken or something, and sent them off. And my dad wasn't a big beer drinker, but he must, you know, did it just to get this Beatles tape, and we played it in his car and literally until the tape snapped. So that was my introduction to, that was one of my earliest introductions to music, full stop. So I grew up very much with the Beatles in the house and listening to the Beatles. But what listening to Oasis did was actually, I think it got me back into the Beatles again, but then it got me listening to more of that type of music. So it, you know, it really opened up what was becoming the Britpop scene, and listening to bands like, I don't know, like Shed Seven, and sort of later the Blue Tones, and you know, all of that kind of stuff. It really opened that up to me.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. And did you also have like a change of look and things? Like a lot of people sort of grew their hair, or at least brushed it forward, and kind of the Fred Perry's came on, or the that sort
no,
of thing.
No, absolutely. So the fashion side of it never appealed to me, not at all. It wasn't my thing. I was very kind of, you know, I was very much sort of, I grew up in like, at this point, we just moved down to Hampshire, and you couldn't have been more detached from what the scene must have been, you know, anywhere north of the Watford Gap, I think. Because it just wasn't, you know, and God, I was, you know, 14 years old at boarding school in Hampshire. The idea of wearing a bucket hat and a Fred Perry shirt, I would have, you know, God, if they hadn't already kicked the shit out of me for having, for the fact that my voice hadn't broken and I was in the choir, I think dressing like that, they probably would have finished me off.
Fair enough. And then moving on from sort of definitely maybe, like, did you get to go and see them around this period?
So I was a real late bloomer in terms of going to gigs. My first gig that I ever went to was, I went to see Radiohead on the OK Computer tour in 97. And that was phenomenal. I was 16 then. And I went to see them at Wembley Arena, and it was amazing. They were supported by Teenage Fan Club and DJ Shadow. I mean, what a lineup for your first gig. It was amazing. And I remember walking in, I was sort of like, I didn't know who DJ Shadow was. And so I watched Teenage Fan Club, went out to get a beer halfway through, and then came back in. And I was like, what the hell is this music? This is the most incredible thing I've ever heard. And just listening to Shadow, that changed my outlook on everything and just opened me up to listen to anything that was coming in at that point. But my second gig ever was back at Wembley Arena, and was Oasis on the Be Here Now tour, supported by Supergrass. Again, hell of a gig. So that was brilliant.
I was there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. It was just brilliant. Just beautiful excess, the ridiculous set on the stage. And it was just, it was bombastic and so of its time. It was just phenomenal. You know, and that was great. And that was kind of that period where I was going from from school to college. So it was all, everything played into my life at exactly those right kind of moments, you know, like Definitely Maybe came along at that, just becoming a teenager. What's the story of Morning Glory is you're kind of, you know, you're gaining your acceptance of that, and then moving on to college and moving up, and it was Be Here Now. I went to university. One of the first things I did at university was join the university radio station, and you'd get CDs in, obviously, to preview and to listen to before they went out on air, before they were released. And we got an advanced copy of Standing on the Shoulder of Giants.
Wow.
Which I nicked from the station, took back to my room, immediately put onto mini disc, took the CD back to the radio station, and became a hero in my first year halls because I had a copy of Standing on the Shoulder of Giants like a fortnight before it was released. It was brilliant. So Yeah, that was they were just great times, you know.
That is interesting. And I suppose at university as well, it's then, because we're very similar. I think I'm like a year older than you. So I think we've kind of followed a very similar path, actually. It's quite funny when you sort of explain it. I'm like, yep, that was me. Yep, that was me. But I was just writing about the fact that when I turned up my first day at uni, so I started university in like autumn 98. And I was thinking about these driving songs, actually. It sort of reminded me of the fact, I'm like, okay, settling into my university room first day, like, okay, there's sort of everyone's milling around in halls of residence, sort of I need to go and get some courage to go and speak to people. It's like, right, Be Here Now. So I shoved Be Here Now on, and just that gives you the you know, that just wall of energy to be like, right, no, let's go and make friends, you know. And that was it. That was it for me. Cool. And then going on from sort of into the later years, did you still stay a big fan throughout your 20s, throughout the...
Oh, massively. I really did. It's it was a funny one. I fell out around Heathen Chemistry, fell out with them around that time. I still don't really look at that album with much fondness. I don't know why. Maybe I think my taste in music was sort of changing around that time, you know, sort of just being at uni and I don't know, sort of the wild excesses of university. I think I was more sort of into my dance music, and it wasn't so much that I was, you know, I still absolutely adored proper guitar band music. There's still nothing on that album that excites me. Yeah. There's nothing that really gets me going. Don't Believe the Truth, I loved as an album. And by that point, I think I'd moved to... I left uni and I just moved to Switzerland for a job. And I was living out there and I was really by myself. And that came out and I was like, ah, this is great. This is cool. And I think it was maybe like a little bit at home that had sort of flown back in through the window. So that was great. And then, right to the end, I remember, oh my goodness. So I remember, this is going to sound really, this is the sort of the ridiculous nature of the job, but I remember when Dig Out Your Soul came out, and it was, I think it was like a day before I was jumping on the plane to go to the Japanese Grand Prix, and I'd never been to the Japanese Grand Prix before. And so I listened to the album like the whole way out on the plane. And it came with a little video of the making of the album. And I just remember sitting there with my knees around my ears at the back of the plane, because I was freelancing in my early days. So, you know, took the cheapest flight out to wherever we were going via wherever it needed to be so that it was as cheap as possible, and literally the back of economy everywhere I was going. And then I landed, and then I had to get the train from, I must have landed at Nagoya or something, to Fuji, because the racetrack was at Mount Fuji. And just all I remember is hours and hours and hours of sitting on random trains with no idea if I was going in the right direction, listening to Dig Out Your Soul. And it's so weird, because I can listen to that album now and all I see is just endless Japanese countryside. And it's funny how music can take you back to a time. And it's the same with Standing on the Shoulder of Giants. It takes me back to my university halls. I can smell the bloody place. It's disgusting, yeah. But it takes me back there. There's that amazing thing with music, how it sparks that part of your brain that can, you know, take you back to a smell and a place and something you've seen. And that's just the amazing strength and power of music.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Kind of set out to make this album that was the songs that were left over, because we've written so many songs for Don't Believe the Truth. It kind of changed shape twice during the recording. For the first time since Definitely Maybe, I started to write in the studio.
Noel was coming in and demoing stuff that we'll be doing the next day.
To have a week where you just get hit with three new ones on the trot.
Within a week, they were fully formed and recorded. It's like, fucking hell, man, that's the way to do it, you know what I mean? The first single is one of the ones that I wrote in the studio. I said, oh, I've got a couple of ideas, just like throw them down on acoustic guitar.
So you're working out the tempos and the key and everything. You get on the drums, play the drums, get on the bass, play the bass, do the guitar, and you're kind of seeing it evolve.
When you find your band, like when you find those special bands to you, it is often because it's for those particular years. And so, yeah. For instance, you know, like, I was always confused why, like, older people, I was like, but listen to this. This is amazing. Like, you know, even talking to, like, you know, people sort of a generation or two older, like, you know, yeah, I know you got your Deep Purple and stuff, but listen to this. Like this Super Furry Animals, it's better than Deep Purple. Yeah. They'd just be like, nah, it's not for me. And I'm like, but I just couldn't fathom it. And then it's like, you get older and you're like, ah, yeah, okay, I see why. Because, like, even all the bands that have come out in the last few years, even bands that have been absolutely brilliant, it doesn't have that same emotional attachment, does it, to those, no, those and, special and times?
It's everything that you hear is, you know, it's inextricably linked to a memory. So you can hear any song, even if it's a total piece of crap song that you never liked, but it'll take you back to somewhere, and it'll take you back to a memory, and that's just the strength of it, you know. And it's really interesting because definitely maybe meant to me as a 13-year-old. It now means something very different because where a decade ago when I had my daughter and she wouldn't sleep one night and I, you know, beleaguered and exhausted and, you know, sitting there with her on my, you know, on my chest and I'm rocking her, trying to rock her to sleep. And my then wife is already, you know, she's trying to get some sleep. Bless her, she's absolutely knackered. And I'm just like, just go to sleep. And I've run out of nursery rhymes. And I've literally, my brain has stopped functioning. There's nothing left, you know, you're just knackered. And so the only thing that came to mind, the only songs I could remember were Oasis. So I started singing Definitely Maybe from the start. And literally I just rattled off every song, tried to sing it as softly as I could. And we got to Supersonic and my little girl fell asleep. And then every sort of time after that, I noticed she'd fall asleep when I got to Supersonic. And right up until last year, when I was still singing her songs, you know, every night to send her to sleep. She's a bit too old for that now. But for all the time that I was, I guarantee the last song she always asked me to sing her was Supersonic. And I would always sing her Supersonic and it would always send her to sleep. And it's just so weird how music changes over time, how its meaning changes over time.
That is interesting as well. And that's a strange song for a lullaby.
But you know what? It works. Yeah. If there are any young dads out there that need to get their kids off to sleep, Supersonic is the one. I think it's because it's all kind of based around the same couple of low. But it's actually a lovely melody. And yeah, it just lulls them off. And it's beautiful. And then, you know, we're in the car and we're listening to definitely maybe, and she would have been 4 or 5, and it comes on, and it's obviously it's the Definitely Maybe version. She's like, "Daddy, is this the song that you sing me at nighttime?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it is." And she's like, "This is amazing." And that was great. And so then when I remember she saw Liam Gallagher on TV at a gig a couple of years ago, and her mum and I are now divorced, but she turned around to her mum and she's just like, "That's Liam Gallagher, mummy." And her mum's like, "How do you know that?" And she's just like, "I hope he sings Supersonic. That's my favorite." And her mum's just like, cute. She's just like, "Your father's got a lot to answer for." that's good. So that's rubbed off a little bit, which is lovely.
Oh, that's really good. That's gorgeous to hear. And that's it. It will be with you for the rest of your life. That's like as much as like I find you can enjoy Radiohead and DJ Shadow and Teenage Fan Club and all these people who, you know, are probably better musicians than Oasis or are better, you know, whatever, however you want to kind of assess people's level. But there's something that Oasis have got that, you know, and those memories that they've instilled in us that they are going to be with us forever. You can't get away from that. Yeah. Oh, lovely. Well, that was a very heartwarming chat there. shall we talk about our sort of top 10 Oasis driving songs?
Yes. Now I've put a lot of thought into this, and I've actually only finalized my list about 5 minutes before we came on air, because it's so hard.
Oh, unbelievable, isn't it? It's really hard.
Because like 10 songs is not. It's not easy, and as I think you're driving it's a very personal thing, right?
Yeah, and there's also there's different times, different moods for different times you're driving and things like that, isn't there? So yeah, it is tough. But I haven't done mine in any sort of order. I've just gone for 10, and I'm similar. I've got a piece of paper in front of me here, and I've been scribbling, I've been writing, I've been scribbling. So I could just about make it out, but I haven't got any sort of particular order. So. Would you want to crack on? Do you want to do your first pick?
Oh man. Okay. So I got to give you, there's two versions, right? I've done two lists because I was going through, and as you say, there's different modes of driving, different ways of driving. And you've got your sing-along songs, right? Which are great for a drive, but then you've got your songs kind of like, Keep the Dream Alive. Or Cast No Shadow, or if we're looking at like Liam and Noel stuff, like I've All I Need by Liam, which are beautiful kind of sunset songs, you know, when you're just out for a bit of a relaxing drive and the sun's going down and that kind of thing. But I figured that's not what you wanted from a driving thing, given that, you know, my background being in Formula One and all that, I guess you meant like proper thumping, get behind the wheel, drive fast, drive hard. And so, I've got two lists, one of which is very bloody methodical, because I thought, right, okay, so what makes a great driving song? And I immediately think of what song would I put to a highlights reel or a highlights package of Formula One or something like that. So it has to have a certain BPM. And the one of the best, like the go-to song, right, for like a driving racing highlights reel would be She Sells Sanctuary by The Cult.
Got you.
And that's 140 BPM. And I said, great, this is such a cracking song, but that's 140 BPM. So I'm like, anything around there is going to be good. And in listening to a load of the Oasis songs, I realized that anything under 120 BPM didn't work. It's too slow.
Got you.
So there's a very methodical list that is all the songs that I really like as driving songs that would work for a highlights reel, that work between 120 BPM and over. And I got to say, Head Shrinker's in there at 161 BPM, because it's just straight out thumper. And then there's another list which kind of took that as the basis, but has a couple of songs under 120, but they fit in there because it's, and that's one I've kind of taken as more of a, it's in an order, but some of them cross over. Anyway, if that's not too complicated. Sorry.
Well, I have to say, I'm so appreciative of the homework you've done into this. This is absolutely brilliant. I didn't realize you'd be actually tracking down the BPMs. That is great work.
Yeah, well, so there's bizarrely, on that list of, I think of, actually there's a couple that don't fit in, which I would have thought automatically would go in to it, like Supersonic or Columbia, I thought would fit in, but they don't. They just don't. For me, they just don't work. They're a little too slow, and they just don't quite have the edge that you need. But one that's on both lists, and I'm going to put it up top because it's brilliant. And it's The Shock of the Lightning. That's on both lists. That falls in at, I believe, 138 BPM. So it's pretty much spot on. I love it. It's a phenomenal song. And I think one of the things that I loved about that album, one of the things I loved about Dig Out Your Soul, was that it was like a return to, definitely maybe, it was a return to every reason why I fell in love with the band in the first place. It was raw in places and just, yeah, this was, it was just raw Oasis for me. Yeah. And I just adore it. And, you know, I know for a lot of people it's not cool to like Dig Out Your Soul. I don't care. It's a brilliant album, and it's this as its, you know, lead single. It's a phenomenal track anyway. It's a brilliant driving song. Like a genuinely brilliant driving song. Just makes you want to put your foot down and go.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And it's on my list as well. It's on my list. And I think it is. My only issue with Dig Out Your Soul is I think that it sort of falls off a bit in the second half of the album. I think that you've got like so many great songs up front, and especially all these sort of more upbeat songs. And this, and you know, we've talked about it on the podcast before, but a downside of the later Oasis years is you've not got many songs that have the classic combination of Noel wrote them, Liam sings them. That's just, there's not that many. There's like two or three an album in the later years. And this is that combination. You want Noel to be writing it. You want Liam to be singing it. And as much as we love Liam's when he writes, fine. As much as we love Noel when he sings, fine. And Andy and Gem sort of chipped in some good songs. But that's the classic combo, why we love them from 94. And and Noel writes it, Liam sings it, and it's an absolute stormer. And I completely agree. It's got that overall sound. It's got the rawness, and it's got the just balls to the floor, you know, kind of, you know, drive. Yeah. But then it's also got that kind of crazy production as well. And there's the brilliant drum solo in the middle. And so, yeah, no, absolutely.
Oh, that is an outstanding moment still. Yeah. It's the sort of the intensity of it, and also how it somehow manages to build. You know, the song's already at kind of, you know, max intensity, and then that drum solo somehow just cranks it up to 11. It's as you say, it's a phenomenal piece of production, actually. And when you look at the excesses of some of the earlier albums, the fact that everything is in place, particularly in that song, it's so refined. I just adore it.
Wonderful. All right, what you got next?
I'm going to put in Rock and Roll Star. That's on both lists.
Fair enough.
But because you kind of said, I think you said that it had to be in for the line, I take my car and I drive real far. So that's in. Also, it's 139 BPM, so it's just that little bit quicker than Shock of the Lightning. So that fits the bill.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, there's not much you need to say about Rock and Roll Star, is it? It's just such an incredible song.
But I'll tell you one thing: is if you're making a compilation, so I've made both of these on Spotify. I'll send you the link to both of them, so you've got both. I've made them as a playlist, so people can play them in their car. You can't put Rock and Roll Star anywhere other than at the start of a playlist.
Correct. Yeah.
Because
you agree.
Because they did. I mean, it's just the opener. That's what it is. It can't go anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when we did our definitely maybe reassembled episode, and we were all mixing around, what would you change in the track listing? Would you drop songs? Would you bring in songs? I don't think anyone, I've probably had about 100 responses on that. Every single person kept Rock and Roll Star and kept it at number one. You can't.
It's amazing,
not,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's just the perfect album opener. Absolutely.
And that and all that, even with a song like Supersonic, with its, you know, opening mantra of what Liam was going to be for the rest of his life, you know, and has there ever been a better opening line in the history of rock than I need to be myself, I can't be no one else? No. And yet that's not the album opener. It's it's just incredible. And yeah, and again, you know, Rock and Roll Star just has all of those facets of, you know, taking you back to that time of your life, of anything being possible, and, you know, the whole world being in front of you, and, you know, tonight I'm going to be whoever the hell I want to be. It's a cracking tune.
No, brilliant. I haven't got it on my list, but I'll give you one of the definitely maybe songs that I have, and we're going to Supersonic. This is for me. I sort of thought, well, what, like talking about memories, what driving memories have I got? And I remember being in the back of my parents' car, having Supersonic on headphones and just sort of staring out the window. I think probably had like circle shades on at the time, like, you know, just like trying to just be like, yes, this is the cool. This is, I found myself. This is like the cool music that I'm into now, and I'm cool. Although I'm in the back of my parents' car, which isn't necessarily cool, but just looking out the window and being like, yeah, and that beat just going and just going down the road. And that's such a clear memory in my head. So, Supersonic is on my list.
Awesome. I found it very difficult to not just stick about five songs from Definitely Maybe in the list. I think for those same reasons, but also because so many of them are pure thumping rock tracks that you love to drive to, and one of those is Bring It On Down. So that's on both of my lists. Again, it's, you know, it has the right pacing to it. It's a brilliant, it's 151 BPM actually, this one, so second highest, only beaten by Head Shrinker. But again, it's the underlying, almost sort of jungleistic nature of the drum beat. It feels quite primal, and I think now you can sort of look back on it and appreciate it for what it is. Particularly in the song, there's so many kind of like uplifts. It's a real, it's almost a dirge, but it's kind of inspiring as well, because it's one of those kind of like I'm going out tonight songs. It just it feels like an underground club. It's just brilliant, like a sweaty mess of a club.
We'll be right back. And it is, and part of these, when picking these songs, it's all about as well. If you're one of the great things about being in the car is that you've got the ability to sing, haven't you, at the top of your lungs.
Yes.
You're not like, if like, you know, I've got young kids as well, I can't really sing, you know, yeah, yeah, I'm class at the top of my lungs in the kitchen, because I'll get like, can you be quiet? We're watching TV, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But absolutely, you can shout. That it's often about like which ones are just really good to do your Liam sneer and do it at the top of your voice. So yeah. It's well, what a tune. Great choice. What have I got next? Let's go with Step Out. So this is
that's controversial. Okay, go for it.
Really? All right.
Hit me. So
Step Out is on my list. So the main thing is that it's, you know, it mentions about, you know, I met her down the disco in a beat up car. She was burning down the road. So that is in itself, you're burning down the road. You're listening to a song that says,
good point.
Burning down the road. So that is a bit on the nose, but you're in the car and it's just got such a great beat to it. And I mean, I'm a big Be Here Now head. Like those songs, I got into Oasis a little bit later, kind of end of 94. So when I, you know, Be Here Now was the one I was so in anticipation for, buying all the singles and when they came out, and it was really special. So anything around that period just really, really means a lot to me. And Step Out, I just think, has got, even like, you know, when it breaks down, I need a nip from your sweet lip tonight, woo, bang it, and into the guitar solo. Oh, I just want to go and get in the car right now and drive to it.
Noel or Liam?
Well, we've only heard that one little snippet, haven't we? Which is frustrating. I do think Liam sings it great, although it would have been, I would have preferred to have Liam sing it and like have a few takes of it and actually hear the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe one day we'll get that. I've been in touch with Tim Abbott. He's never been on the show actually, but I've spoken to him a few times. And he's got it. You know, he's that's why we know that snippet. He did a live event.
Imagine.
And it was sort of leaked, even though they said no one is allowed to record. And thankfully, someone recorded.
Because as soon as you say that, everyone's going to record it.
Of course you are. But, you know, when they like, you know, they put it on, oh, yeah, we're going to see, you know, these unheard sort of, you know, snippets of videos and things, then, you know. But no, I mean, Tim has got such an incredible collection of stuff. Like it's because he just filmed everything and recorded everything. Most of Supersonic was his stuff. So
phenomenal.
Tim's great, but it's one of those things. I've spoken to him about three times and I say, oh yeah, can we speak to set up a recording, and we end up speaking for an hour. I'm like, Tim, could I not just, should have just bloody pressed record. So frustrating. It's Noel for now at the moment. Well, maybe if they ever do release the full Liam version, then it would swing it, but for now it's Noel.
I don't think I've got a Noel. Actually, I've got one Noel song on my list. That's it. So next one I'm going for, this will be a little bit controversial.
Wait, hold on. Why did you say controversial for me picking Step Out?
I don't know. I've always found it a bit cheesy.
Oh, okay. All right.
But it's all personal taste, isn't it? And that's the great thing with music. That's the great thing with music. You'll probably hate this one. I'm going for The Turning.
No, I don't hate that. I like that a lot.
Okay, cool.
Love that tune. Yeah.
Great. I, you know, Shake Your Ragdoll, baby. I love it. It's, again, it's just one. It's when you're in a car and you're just you and the road. You want something that's, again, it's just absolutely thumping. And this just, it has it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great rock song. It's just proper rock and roll. Yeah, I love it. I just absolutely adore it. Great song.
And any chorus that starts with, so come on. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's, and again, it's just, it's one of those things that just picks you up, lifts you up, and it's just, it's straight in your face, unapologetic. Rob, love it.
Brilliant. Absolutely great. Eyes over the city, rise up from your soul. I'm going to change the mood a little bit, and I'm going to go with another Noel one, another Be Here Now era, which is Flashbacks.
Well, okay, one of my favourite Oasis songs. Love it. So few people remember it. It was a great B-side to All Around the World.
Yeah.
Great song.
Yeah, I love it. I just think it's just got such a great vibe to it. It's got that like quite laconic sort of slow drum beats to it, but just the way Don't Matter Now, all that sort of, yeah. It's got that, just that over the top beat
and
production.
Even a little ping in it.
Sorry,
that little ping as well with
I thought you said there was a little ping in the recording. I'm like, what, is it not recorded? No, I love it. It's just that's, you know, but I think some criticism of them in the later years is that they weren't putting as much effort, especially into the B-sides, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas at this point, everything, they are just putting so much effort in. Noel is working so hard to craft these songs. And I just love it. You know, days when I was last and lonely. Oh, it's just...
You talk about those days though, you know, and you're right. And it was, you know, the effort that went into the sleeves, the effort that went into the B-sides, the effort that went into the music videos. You know, when MTV a thing and wasn't just programs about people dating each other and living in, you know, stupid places. And, you know, it was actually music videos. And, you know, it's why you queued up at 7 o'clock in the morning outside Our Price to buy Be Here Now. It's the same thing as you sat in front of your TV waiting for the music video for All Around the World to come out. Yeah. You know, it was an event. It was your music coming out was an event. And it was, I miss those days. It was, they were such exciting days. There's nothing wrong.
So yeah, so I've gone Flashbacks. What's next for you?
You said that we could do Liam and Noel songs, so I've thrown "Come Back to Me" by Liam.
What a great choice!
It has that, just that thumping rock and roll vibe to it. It's one of the slower ones. It's only at 99, so it shouldn't fit in, but it does because it's just an absolute. I was going through some of his songs, you know, Greedy Souls at 128 BPM. You Better Run is 157. I Get By is tricky because it's in 3/4 time. But if you tap out each one of the 3/4, it's at 192, which can't be right because the drums aren't actually doing one beat a bar. So that's anyway. But all three of those are great. But Come Back to Me as a driving song, it's a little slower than the others, but it has something to it. And I think, as Liam described it, I saw he answered somebody's question the other day because he'd been listening to lots of music, and they said, you're listening to a lot of hip hop. Is there going to be some hip hop influence on your next album? And I can't remember what his exact words were, but it was something along the lines of, no, it's just going to be more of the same, not quite as good as Oasis, mid 90s crap. And I'm like, And I love that because what he said from the outset is, you know, I don't want to do the Noel thing. I'm not going to get, you know, someone in my band playing scissors. And I'm not going to, you know, try and be down with the kids on Radio 2. I just want to give, when people listen to Liam Gallagher, they know what they're getting. And I like that, you know, play to your strengths, play to what you know people like. And I thought As You Were was a great album. I really, really like it. Lyrically, musically, I think it's a really solid offering. I genuinely really liked it.
No, definitely. And that is a great track as well. It's really got that. As soon as I heard it, it was like Charlatans. You know, that for me was like Charlatans.
Yes.
It's really got that Charlatans kind of vibe to it. You know.
Yes. Oh my God! Absolutely. Also, with the keyboards. Real kind of flashbacks to The Only One I Know.
Exactly. Another.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So, but no, I love that, and even the video that he shot up at King Tut's and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it allows him to do. He's just wide stance, leaning into the mic. You know, snarling it out. It's a proper Liam track.
Great choice. Well, I wasn't going to put in a modern one, but I feel I should now.
You don't have to.
I think if I was going to, then I think in a similar vibe on the second Liam album, I think you've got like Invisible Sun has that vibe to Come Back to Me. You know, that sort of, it's a bit more slow, but it's got that kind of groove to it. I really like. But I think Shockwave, man. That Shockwave.
Yeah, Shockwave's a great track.
What a tune that is for driving around as well. Oh, that's great. But anyway, no, I won't. I'll go back to, and what I'm just to say, I've talked on this podcast quite a lot about a lot of songs before that probably would be there. So for instance, I've talked a lot about Stay Young and about Round Our Way and things like that. So I'm not going to focus on those just because I've talked about them quite a lot. But another Be Here Now track that I think would be great is I Hope I Think I Know.
Okay. Yep.
So I love I Hope I Think I Know, just as like a great little pop tune, like radio friendly, as in, so they did actually release it as a radio single in America. It's just like, I think when, like we said earlier about Step Out being cheesy, I love cheesy Oasis, cheesy upbeat poppy, like Liam's Now That I Found You, like that sort of style. I love the cheesy Oasis. I don't like is like She Is Love, kind of soppy Oasis. I tap out there. But yeah, I Hope I Think I Know just rollicks along at such a pace, and I just love it. That for me is just like pure Oasis goodness. And that is why I gotta keep running. The future's mine and it's no disgrace. Cause in the end the past means nothing. You tell me I'm free, then you tie me down. I'm from my chains, I think it's a pity. Why did it cost you to wear my crown? You don't like me, why don't you admit it? I feel a little down today. And I ain't got much to say. But you're gonna
Be Here Now is not as bad as everybody seems to think it is. There's, you know, the production, we all know the production was way overblown, and when you just sort of reduce it down to its component parts, some of the songs are actually really great. I've got My Big Mouth on my list. Again, you know, for those same reasons. It's a rollicking good sort of track, but at the same time, it does fit in with my BPM. It's 135 BPM, so it's got a good pace to it. But again, you know, lyrically, it's a load of old turp, isn't it? But it's I think the wailing of the guitars in it. Again, just the pace of it, the general feel of it as a track is, I think it deserves its space on my list. Just about. I wanted to put something from Be Here Now on it, but it's difficult. But I think you might have one upped me with your choice from Be Here Now.
Well, I've got another one from Be Here Now.
Oh,
I love Be Here Now. So, and especially as a driving album as well, for me, like Morning Glory has sort of, you know, a lot of those slower songs. And yeah, I mean, something like Champagne Supernova or Cast in the Shadow, like you said, they're really good. But
that's a nighttime driving song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's sort of just a great, or like a summer, you know, just sort of nipping around, having a, you know, but it's quite a lot of ups and downs, isn't there? On yeah, whereas Definitely Maybe is just pretty much all out until you get the one, you know, acoustic-y Married with Children at the end. And Be Here Now similar as well. Even the ballads are massive with 127 guitar parts on them and stuff. So yeah. So they all rock. But yeah, My Big Mouth I'll put on as well because it's on my list because I think that, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's the opening track, but for me it's like, well, we heard that one, skip it. Okay, here's the album starts proper with My Big Mouth.
Yeah, and also the pace isn't right with but you know what I mean. It's a great track, even if it is just Wonderwall on electric guitars.
Yeah,
but it plods, and yeah. You can't have a plodding song for a driving compilation. No. It doesn't work.
No, I agree. It's like a lot of the people that have said Columbia. I know a lot of people have said Columbia online. I thought, no, it's a great track for what it is, but I don't want to put that on in the car. Yeah.
I mean, I love Columbia, but it depends. If you just have if you listen to the simple beat, it's at 100 BPM. But if you have all the little, because if it's bump 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 to 1, 2, 3, 4, bump 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 bump, it's like that's at 100 BPM. But if you get the of the hi hat in there, then it goes up to 200. So it depends if you want it to be like a slow song or a fast track. It depends where you want to.
What you're
listening
tune
your hearing into the drums.
How interesting. I'm loving all this BPM chat, mate. This is great.
Well, you know, motor racing is all about RPM. So I thought I would try and, you know, do something along those lines to have at least method behind my madness.
That is great. But like, I'll give you my example for My Big Mouth is sort of like, I was driving, we went on holiday to France a couple of years ago, and I've sort of, you know, got in the car and I've driven abroad a couple of times. I've never really enjoyed it. It sort of stresses me out a bit. You know, I'm just constantly like, feel, you know, like you feel lopsided because you're on one side of the car when you shouldn't be and all that sort of stuff. And French country roads and roundabouts, oh, it's just giving me flashback. and I think my wife could tell I was like getting quite stressed out. So she's like, sticks on Be Here Now on the... give him Be Here Now. It's like a calming solution. give him the confidence. So yeah.
She knows you too well.
Exactly. So My Big Mouth coming on to give me a bit of confidence while navigating French country roads. There you go. What you got next, mate?
So I'm going for Morning Glory.
Oh.
We spoke about Morning Glory as an album, and you know it's got some great tracks on there, but none of them are real driving songs. I'm not a tremendous fan of, some might say, I know it's sort of as anathema for an Oasis fan to say that is, you know, there's a lot of songs on there that were, you know, hugely successful that just don't do very much for me. But, you know, and Morning Glory, when the album was released, was the song that I passed over. I would always sort of skip past it. I think I probably listened to the Swamp Song more than I listened to Morning Glory.
Really?
I don't know why. I genuinely don't know why. I just, it was one of those songs that I think I skipped on the way to Champagne Supernova. And then I can't remember. I think my sister must have put it on in the car one day, many years later. And I was just like, what are you putting this one on for? She's like, it's literally the best Oasis song. And I listened to it. And I think I was at an age there where I was around for reappraising it. And I suddenly knew what the, when you change the mirror and the razor blade line meant and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, wow, this is actually really, it's a really great tune. And you know, whether it's the sort of the helicopters, and because you've got the helicopters at the start of Do You Know What I Mean, but I actually think they're kind of more fitting on this one. I love it. I just, it's again just one of those tracks where, with a little bit of passage of time for me personally, and then going back and reappraising it, brilliant song. Absolutely, yeah. Brilliant song.
No, I agree. I absolutely love it. And it's in my top 10 Oasis songs. And it's, so it's one that I haven't put on the list here. But in reality, of course, it's on my driving playlist, yes. So. I'm going to go for another sort of cheesy one in Bonehead's Bank Holiday.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I love Bonehead's Bank Holiday. I just love the nonsense lyrics. They're just so funny. I love the bouncy drum beat along to it, and the la la la, all that sort of stuff. I just love it. If you want to have a drive around, and it talks about going to Spain, all that sort of stuff, and like, you know, but it's, the melody's great. You know, the melody's great. Yeah, it's a bit of a joke. It's a throwaway, but Noel doesn't do throwaways like without putting great melodies in them. So this is a brilliant song. If it had sort of more meaningful lyrics, like, people would hold it up. But yeah, Bonehead's Bank Holiday, I think, is an absolutely brilliant song. And it's also got all the stupidness at the end as well. And it's always good fun. I like to listen to a bit of comedy when I'm driving around as well. I'll stick on it's a Bill Hicks or, like, you know, some sort of comedians, and I enjoy that as well. So actually having that bit of comedy there at the end, same as, like, at the end of It's Good to Be Free as well, with the, like, yeah. You know, with the accordion reel, the yes. thing. So yeah, yes. bit of that, brilliant.
Awesome. You know, I need a little bit to get away for a holiday, so I can see the sun, cause in the sun they say it's fun if you get some. Well, I could take a train or a boat or an aeroplane, or I could steal a car, cause in a car you can't go far, just depends what kind of car you are, what kind of car you are.
What you got next?
How many are we through? I can't remember how many we've done.
I think I've talked about
7.
I've talked about 8, so I think there's two left.
Two more, yeah. So it's funny because I've kind of given you amalgamation of both of my lists. but I'm just to roll you through some of the ones on my ones. The list that I did just on BPM had Rock and Roll Star, Bring It On Down. It had Up in the Sky. Because that's 141 BPM. Head Shrinker, My Big Mouth, Morning Glory. Had I Can See a Liar, The Shock of the Lightning, and Falling Down. Because Falling Down's got a great great beat to it. Yeah. But I can see Elias similarly for that. You know, the drums are just driving you all the way through it. It's quite snarly, you know, Liam's like, he lives an easy life, you know, all those kinds of things. And it's, that's a good thumping rock song. And Fade Away, the original, not the Help EP version, you know, because that and Hedgerinker together are just proper, almost punk, sort of inspired tracks. Just brilliant. But I'm going to go back to my original list, which has a couple. They're not all in there, just dependent on pace, but also on driving. And I've got AKA What a Life in by Noel Gallagher, because you said we could have one by
Noel.
So I've stuck that in. But interestingly, I was sort of going through some of the remixes that sort of occurred over the years, and Uncle did a couple of really great remixes of some tracks. They did a great remix of this. They did a brilliant one of Let the Lord Shine a Light on Me as well by Noel Gallagher. And those two Uncle remixes are brilliant. The only other remix I think would work really well for a driving compilation is the Prodigy remix of Falling Down. I think those three tracks would just be, they have a little, they've got their own little mini sort of bit. But I want AKA What a Life, just because as its original track, not the remix, even though the remix is brilliant, just on its own as a track, great driving song. Again, you've got the piano that's driving along with the bass and the drums, they're all completely connected. And it's one of those songs that, you know, when you're talking about a driving song, it actually feels like the engine. You feel like the cogs are turning in it, you know, and the pistons are thumping. And it feels like, you know, it just feels like you're part of this organic thing that's driving you forward. And that's a great driving song. It's a great song, but that's a great driving song. It's this thing that just feels like it's motoring you in a direction. And I love that. And for the line, I want to take, take the tiger outside for a ride. He's a brilliant lyric.
That is great.
I adore it.
That is a great shout. That's a great shout. I think a lot of the Noel Who Built the Moon tracks are good driving tracks, actually, with the with that sort of, you know, that David Holmes sort of dancey production. I think you could definitely include it. I did listen to that album a lot driving, and that was a really good listen while driving.
I've got to say, I had completely forgotten about the Uncle remix of Let the Lord Shine a Light on Me until I was, going back over all the songs to come up with the list for today. And God, that's a brilliant version of a Noel song. You know, big Uncle fan anyway, you know, DJ Shadow, James Lavelle, all of that from back in the day. But that is, and just going, because I can't find it on Spotify. I remember it was the B-side to AKA What a Life. And it was on the CD, and just, God, it's so good. so good.
We were just talking about, I recorded with my friend Richard, who's done quite a lot on here, and we were talking about the Uncle track Knock On Effect, which is like probably the proto kind of fucking in the bushes. Like that's where Noel was sort of starting to work with those sort of drum loops and things like that. But that's,
and you had and around that time, you know, Ian Brown was doing so much with them as well. You know, he had Be There, which is just such a great song as well, and all around that time using those kind of sampled drum loops and very much sort of taking that James Lavelle influence. Great time, great tracks.
Cool. All right. Well, I've got two more on my list to talk about, and I'll kind of combine the two. So we've got Cloudburst and Hedgerinker. Cool. So, and these are, I mean, Hedgerinker is officially kind of comes under the Morning Glory era because it's, I suppose it's because it's the B-side to Some Might Say, but because it's got Tony McCarroll on it, and it still feels to me a lot more like a Definitely Maybe song. So I kind of still have it in my head as like a Definitely Maybe song.
100%, 100%.
Yeah, you get that. So yeah, and Cloudburst, once again, it's another one for me that I really remember, like just as say before I could drive, you know, being in the back of the car, and it's got such a great intro, you know, wake up, there's a new day dawning. And it really was like, I've discovered this band, I've discovered this scene, I've discovered who I am. And Cloudburst has just got that feel to it. And especially if it's raining as well, I suppose, here it comes again. Now I can feel the rain. But yeah, I absolutely love Cloudburst, and the beat to it is just so funky. It's almost like, I mean, it is kind of ripped off from Standing Here by the Stone Roses. It's basically got the same melody, and it's got that kind of Stone Roses beat to it. Obviously the Tony McCarroll kind of version of it. So yeah, I absolutely love Cloudburst. And then, but then like similar to you, that you talked about Head Shrinker earlier, Head Shrinker is just the best. Like, you know, that as they never did anything heavier than that. I think Fade Away is pretty heavy. But Fade Away's got that kind of sort of wistfulness, isn't it, with the lyrics. Whereas Head Shrinker's just all out attack, Liam in full sort of snarling Johnny Rotten kind of mode. And
yeah,
oh, it's just incredible. And Tony absolutely destroys the drums on it. Love it.
Yeah. It's one of those tracks you wish you could have seen live in the really early days.
Oh, yeah.
At some beat up crap shack venue, you know, beer getting spilt all over the place, and just, yeah, it takes you back to an imagining of a time that you never knew. Great track, great track.
Love it. Any other honourable mentions for you? Have we got any more to pick up in your world?
So, Fucking in the Bushes would be my opening track of the 10. You know, for all the reasons that we said, you know, sort of being influenced at that time by the sample drum loops. It's got, I think, one of the best guitar riffs that they have ever sort of committed to tape. And it was such a fantastic opener, not just to an album, but to a live show as well. Yeah. I don't think it gets much better than that as an opener. And, you know, if I'm making a compilation, if I'm putting 10 songs and I'm creating a playlist of a driving playlist, then that is set as that's my scene set. That's my open. So I start with that. I roll into the Shock of the Lightning, out of that into Rock and Roll Star. Oh, then I put Acquiesce. I completely forgot about Acquiesce. Then I went for The Turning, aka What a Life, Bring It On Down, Come Back to Me, My Big Mouth, Morning Glory. That's my 10.
That is an incredible 10. But this is Oasis. You could have done an incredible 50. You know what I mean?
But this is the mad thing. It's like if you include all of the solo stuff as well, there's like 200 and whatever songs.
Yeah.
And you want 10. It's like less than 5%. And it's not, but it's lovely, and it's been lovely just sort of going through them all and trying to be methodical, trying to be reasoned, and then realizing, yeah, if I do it just on reason alone, I come out with this list. But you can never go just with reason. You have to go with heart. You have to go with emotion, and you have to go with something that just feels right. And that's, again, it's just the wonder of me, and it's the wonder of this band, you know.
Yeah.
And it's why I think so many people just want them to reform just for a gig, you know, is whether it would be terrible or brilliant. I think there's such love and such emotion that exists around a band that's created such a wealth of good music.
Yeah.
Maybe it's better that it never happens, but because it could only disappoint.
it's when the people have mocked up like what the Beatles would have looked like if they'd had a reunion like in the 80s, like kind of what they would have probably, you think, oh no, I wouldn't have wanted that. But I suppose the thing is, Liam and Noel, they still look so cool.
Oh God! So we're really lucky. They do concerts at a lot of F1 races. It's become more and more of a thing. And a couple of years ago, Liam played the Singapore Grand Prix, And I got in loads of trouble because I missed the first 5 minutes of qualifying because I was running back from the gig to get back to the paddock in time to do the interviews. Luckily, nobody had crashed out early in qualifying, so I didn't miss any of the interviews. But, you know, he's, and it's just, it's typical Liam. Like, he's on stage in Singapore in like 40 degree heat in a massive parka, sunglasses on, despite the fact it's the middle of night. And there's no one cooler. Like, he's the greatest front man of our generation, and he knows exactly who he is, and he knows exactly what he's about.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Absolutely.
Unapologetically brilliant.
Have you ever met any of them or interviewed them, Will?
No. God, I think it's one of the, that'd be one of those occasions where I just got so completely starstruck that I don't think I'd be able to do it. It's a weird thing, despite...
But you meet all these superstars, you know,
Lewis
Hamilton and all these guys, but yeah, do you think
I'd probably just make a complete knob of myself and say the wrong thing. I think, you know, Paul McCartney walked into the paddock once and I completely fangirled. So I think if Noel or Liam walked in, I'd be really crap. I'd be terrible. I managed to pluck up the courage to interview Katy Perry on the grid, but but Liam and Noel, no, I think I'd probably lose it.
Are they F1 fans? I'm just trying to think now. I can't remember.
I don't know. I'm not sure if they are. Sure. Open invitation when this whole COVID nonsense is over. Well, I promise. Wonderful. I won't be a fangirl.
Will, thank you so much for your time, mate. That's been absolutely brilliant. I've been so impressed and so privileged that you took the time to actually not just go, there's 10, but actually, you know, the thought and preparation. I'm really taken aback. So I really appreciate that, mate.
Oh, pleasure, man. It's been great fun. I've really, really enjoyed it. And as I've done the set list, so I'll send it over to you.
Yes, definitely. Drop them over, and we will we'll post those out with the episode. And people can, and also if you're listening and you want to send us your own sort of driving tracks, you know, and as I say, try and stick to 10. It's bloody hard, but it'll be cool. Wonderful. So, Will, where can people find you online?
I am all over F1's official content, so F1.com and through their YouTube channels. And you can follow me on the social medias at W Buxton Official.
There we go. Will Buxton, thank you so much.
Thank you, mate. I really enjoyed it.
So thank you very much to Will Buxton, and make sure you check out the notes to this episode, or if you head on to Twitter and Instagram and all that sort of stuff, you'll see that we've posted the playlists and also details of how you can follow Will at W Buxton Official and all that sort of stuff.
Hope you guys really enjoyed that. Really interesting. And also Will's got a real in-depth knowledge, as you can hear, of all the remixes and stuff. So we've actually talked about him coming on to do an episode on the remixes, because you've never done that before. So that would be cool. All right, that will pretty much do it. Thank you very much for listening to the Oasis podcast. And of course, most importantly, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly, greatly appreciated. You can become a Patreon of the Oasis Podcast Network at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where you'll hear the episodes early, bonus episodes and other stuff. So do head on over there. Do remember to check out the other podcast I do, which is the 1001 Albums pod. Some really interesting stuff going on over there. The most recent episode was with Andy from OMD. Yeah, actually the main guy of OMD, which was amazing. And also we've had other really interesting artists over there as well. So do make sure you check that out. You can email me, oasispod@gmail.com. We're on the socials, Oasis Podcast on Twitter and Facebook, and Oasis Pod on Instagram. And if you can review the show on iTunes, if you haven't already, that would be greatly appreciated. Oh, and of course, let's not forget that there is a book available, which is called Some Might Say The Definitive Story of Oasis. And there's a car alarm going off. Right. Wasn't my car, don't worry. Anyway, where was I? As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their Essential Prenatal Multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.